Good morning. Before we get to the readings, I think we need to do a little groundwork. And I'd like to start with the greatest commandment. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. So all of the Ten Commandments should support the greatest commandment. Each of the teachings of Jesus should support the greatest commandment. And all the precepts and tradition of the church should support the greatest commandment. Every decision we make, every word we say to another son or daughter of God, every action we take should be based on the greatest commandment. That should be our goal in life, right? From the first reading from Sirach today, it's pretty clear that God wants us to live, to be fully alive. He says, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. The choice is ours. The choice, he says, between fire and water, life and death, good and evil. But God doesn't bully anyone to follow his commandments. The commandments are an invitation to walk with God in a relationship of love and fidelity. Are we willing to accept that invitation as something that is good for us, that will ultimately bring us joy, true happiness, eternal life? The second part of this is to ask the question, what is love? We're told that God is love and love is God, and circular definitions don't always help me very much. But there was a great article in our Sunday Visitor on February of 2015 called A Look at Love. And their definition of love is any strong affection, closeness, or devotion to things or persons. A pretty generic definition, I think. But they go on to say that there are four kinds of love. Some people say there's even more. But the four that they listed were storge. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But storge is familial love, a fondness due to familiarity. And from this we get, children, honor your father and your mother. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Essentially, we need to love our family because God says so, and because we just cooperated with the creation of new life, and we owe our life to our parents. Philos is friendship, the people that we freely choose to be in our lives. And so this can be the love your neighbor as yourself kind of love. And we hear from Matthew, for I was hungry, and you gave me food and gave me drink, welcomed me, clothed me, cared for me, visited me. Eros, or passion, is the most popular form of love. It refers to a special and intimate love between a man and a woman, and also to other life passions that we might pursue. However, Eros, without the other forms of love with it, becomes disordered and can leave a trail of hurt. Agape love is the highest form of love. It's the kind of love that God is and gives to us, unselfish, superabundant, unconditional. Agape can be tough love as well, but it is guided by the desire to move the beloved to what is best for him or her in order to achieve salvation. So now we can use this groundwork to look at the gospel. It's all about the law and the commandments. And first, he talks about the law in general. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Not one part of a single letter will pass from that law. Why does he say this? Well, according to the early church fathers, for two reasons. One is to admonish his disciples and us that as he has fulfilled the law, so they should strive, and we should strive to fulfill it. The law is still good. It still applies. Keep living it. And second, because he knew the Jews would falsely accuse them of subverting the law. So this applies to us as well. The law should help us to learn to love as God loves, and it's still a tall order, but how do we do it? I once had a lab-level manager who I and many others greatly respected. Nothing seemed to faze him. Everything was just a problem to be solved. But every once in a while, some directive would come down from upper management or corporate offices. And many times it didn't even seem like they asked for input before they did it. Surprise. To us humble engineers, and yes, we engineers can be humble, it didn't always look well thought out. So his approach was to embrace the directive, whatever it might be. And it gave him a chance to really understand the directive. What was the intent of the directive? What problem was it trying to solve? And how is it supposed to help us? It also gave him time to influence the implementation of it. We should do the same with the law, the commandments, and the tradition of the church. Embrace it, take it seriously, understand it, ask questions. What is God's intent? What problem of faith or life is it trying to solve? How can it help us? How will it protect us from the evil one? And how does it apply to my life? It's from God, so we can't really change it, but we can discern how to apply it to our lives, how best to respond to it. We, of course, need to ask for grace to understand these questions fully. The point, if God is love, there is a good and holy reason for all his teachings and commandments. Next, Jesus addresses some specific commandments. The first one is the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. And the reason is because human life is sacred to God, is a continuation of the creative action of God, and we remain forever in a special relationship with the Creator. There are, of course, provisions for legitimate defense to preserve one's life or the life of another. But the Catechism says there's three components to this commandment, do not kill. The first is respect for human life. And this includes the direct actions or formal involvement in murder, abortion, euthanasia, and suicide. I'd like to address the suicide because it's a big problem here these days. Since 1999, the suicide rates in our country have risen 30%, 40% in rural areas. And in children 10 to 14, the rate has tripled in the last 10 years. Let that sink in. While suicide is a sin against creation and love, we are all sinners, and we lose many who are not in a good state of mind at the time. It may be due to anguish or fear, suffering or mental illness. It doesn't undo the damage, but it diminishes the responsibility. And in the end, we entrust them to God's mercy. Same way that we entrust God to his mercy when we enter the confessional. And we pray for them and for those left behind. Lord, come into our world and heal it of these actions against your love. To the world, open your hearts to the love and hope of God. The second component is respect for the dignity of persons in general. It involves things like scandal, which leads others to do evil. Lack of basic needs, food, clothing, housing, healthcare, education, employment, social assistance. Harm done to our bodies by others or by self, and respect for the dead. And the third component is safeguarding peace, and this includes things like avoiding war at all costs. But there's an example of anger as it comes to play in our gospel today. Anger and hatred are contrary to charity. But the words of from St. Augustine in his Confessions has always helped me. This is just as perverse as to imagine that our enemies can harm us more than we do to ourselves by hating them, or that by persecuting another man, we can damage him more fatally then we damage our own hearts in the process. We are called to love our enemies and assume that they are still children of God. Next, Jesus addresses adultery and divorce. These are offenses against the sixth commandment, specifically the dignity of marriage. Marriage is a total giving of oneself to another, a free promise, a covenant for life, an exclusive relationship of unconditional love. Adultery and divorce break this covenant and the consent that was given. The church is not blind to special cases where a physical separation may be needed and legitimate, where the sacramental bond did not form properly due to some impediment and annulment may be granted, where civil divorce is the only way to protect the legal rights, such as care of the children or protection of the inheritance, and where one spouse is an innocent victim and has sincerely tried to be faithful to the sacrament of marriage and is unjustly abandoned. Divorce is especially traumatic for children. It is a loss of the love between mom and dad. Every family event, holiday, and move from house to house is a reminder of that loss. A couple years ago, the Archdiocese responded to this need, and I was invited to participate. I'm the co-leader of a ministry for adult children of divorce and separation. We are having our fifth retreat this April 21st through the 23rd. For some, it is the first time for them to voice their story. For others, they may need more practical tools to navigate life. For still others, it is a time to think about its effect on their own relationships. And most importantly, we invite Christ into the healing process. He is the only one that can do so. So please, I invite you to see the bulletin for more details or contact me more directly about this ministry and these retreats. We've had participants from 18 years old to over 60 attend. All of the sacraments were instituted by Christ to bring us grace. In the sacrament of marriage, the words of the vows are easy to say. Living the vows is much harder. Bringing a man and a woman together, each with their own values, life experiences, and ways of doing things, takes determination and grace. Becoming one in purpose takes work. Helping each other get to heaven takes love, that agape love, that unconditional love. So if you or someone you know is considering marriage, come and see us. If you or someone you know were married outside the sacrament, come and see us. We all need all the grace that we can muster. God is indeed love, and God loves us deeply. So much so that he created us out of that love, so much that he sent his own son, so much that he doesn't ever abandon us. And he guides us with his commandments and teachings to bring us ways to navigate this imperfect world, to bring us truth, to help us to holiness, health, and happiness, and to give us the gift of eternal life. That's the ultimate goal. Amen. Amen. Amen.